Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What's going on, guys? Good morning. Good morning.
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
Was yesterday, was yesterday probably the craziest day we've seen in NFL throughout the season?
I feel like we had a bunch of crazy weeks so far.
I know one thing. It was nice and warm. That's for sure.
You know what, man? Get out of here.
That's what I do.
You see my text I said to you yesterday? I said, where are you? I'm coming.
That is exactly what I am talking about.
Enjoying the weather?
The weather.
The L.A. weather.
Clear skies. You know, it was such a beautiful day there, Max. I'm sure as you were covering boxing, you was wishing at a point in time that Las Vegas was your permanent resident, which is out west. But right now, you're raining and clear and cloudy skies, I'm sure.
Keith, speaking of Las Vegas, how the Raiders.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Handle it. Yeah.
Hold
fun.
Up. Can you let him slide going at the Raiders? Mr. Bills over here is going at the Raiders.
I tried to get my shot in early.
Yeah, get it in
early.
Now.
Max, it is what it is, man. I'm not looking for got you moments. I got
If you don't get out here, you don't get out here about the five texts that came across my chain yesterday, as soon as it happened, please.
Hey, man, it's over. What can I say? The Raiders Raiders.
The Raiders Raiders and the Titans tightened.
And the Kansas City Chiefs, I feel like they've been coming along, but I still don't feel like they've put it all together. They played offense one week. They played defense another week. Key, they held Dak, the defense, to 216 passing yards, no touchdowns, forced two interceptions. Mahomes threw for 260 with an interception and a fumble, didn't throw for a touchdown. Here's the Chiefs. Listen to Mahomes on where they are right now.
We're still not playing our best football, and we're sitting here 7-4, at least a half game up on the AFC West, and you go into the bye week knowing you're going to play a lot of divisional opponents coming up. So everything's right in front of us. We can be better, especially offensively. The defense can continue to get better and better each and every week. And to be where we started to where we're at now and still not even playing our best football, I would take that every time.
Yeah, you certainly look at the statistical side of Mahomes' game, but that's not it. What people got to realize is look at Eric Bieniemy and look at what he decided to do in this particular football game. He decided to mix things up from an offensive standpoint and not put all of it on his quarterback, to the point where Travis Kelce, the tight end, was taking direct snaps, to the point where they ran the speed option. I mean, it was so fascinating to see that Eric Bieniemy has gotten back to the drawing board and not just sitting around relying on what the Kansas City Chiefs had done in the past. And anytime you see something like that, you say to yourself, okay, they recognize what they had been doing wrong, so now they're doing a major self-evaluation on their offense in order to be able to put up the points necessary enough to win football games. So I learned a lot more about who the Kansas City Chiefs were and how they can become better, as you heard Patrick Mahomes right there talk about down the line, second half of the season, getting into the division, being able to see the Raiders in Denver and the Chargers all over again.
It's scary for the rest of the NFL if this defense keeps trending in this direction, right? Think over the last 4 weeks, we've been on this show saying their defense has gotten better. And Max, you've alluded to the point, it typically gets better at this time of the season as it moves forward. That's a tendency for this team. But when it was against the Giants, it was like, oh, it's because of the Giants. When they shut down the Packers, well, it's because Jordan Love. When they shut down the Raiders, well, the Raiders are raidering it. I mean, what they did to the Cowboys last night, it makes you think about Melvin Ingram coming back to this defense, moving Chris Jones back inside, 3.5 sacks that he had. That defense is looking real, and they're running the ball. The offense is clicking. They're looking like them and the Pats. Best team in the AFC.
So you're with Key. You learned more about the Chiefs last night.
For sure.
So which, between the Chiefs and the Cowboys, Key, at this moment, because the Cowboys have been talked about as legit Super Bowl contenders all year, right? And the Chiefs, it's like, hey, what's wrong with the Chiefs? To me, they're still not clicking on all cylinders. But at this moment, who are you more confident in terms of making a Super Bowl run?
I'm probably more confident in the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of making a strong Super Bowl run. The Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, okay? Even though they have clunkered along. They're the best team in the AFC. In my opinion, they are the best team, and it's not even close. And I've said this many times over about the Tennessee Titans. I've said it about the Buffalo Bills. The 8-3 Tennessee Titans is a fake 8-3. The Buffalo Bills are now looking downward or upward to the New England Patriots, so to speak, no more looking downward, and they are now scared that the New England Patriots is going to catch them. The Kansas City Chiefs are not afraid of their division. The Raiders are raidering it. We know what Denver is. Chargers are still kind of hanging around. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers last night, so that kind of gives them a little mojo. But the Kansas City Chiefs are a much better football team when they're clicking than the Chargers. So if they get home field advantage in the AFC, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Jay, I'm with Key on this. And by the way, all year, when everyone's writing off the Chiefs, I'm like, oh, okay, hold on. Like, you think these dudes just forgot how to play football? But when you just went down, Key just went down to different teams. What it comes down to me is they have Mahomes, right? They have some good teams. Talk about the Patriots, this one, that one. Mac Jones or Ryan Tannehill or Patrick Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes.
It's just the upside, the ceiling for this team is scary because you still see their defense getting better and just wonder when Patrick Mahomes – it wasn't like that was a prolific offensive game yesterday. I mean, getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire back was a big bump for them. But you're still waiting for that aspect to come into play where this starts to click offensively. It's crazy how many weapons they have, man.
Yeah, they haven't clicked. Like, he had 400 yards and five touchdowns a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He follows that up with
still
no touchdowns
like a click that game.
And a couple turnovers.
Off.
Yeah, and I still felt like a B-minus from Mahomes. Key, and then no touchdowns, a couple, but they're figuring out different ways to win. And what's interesting is they had a lot of new pieces on the offensive line. That typically takes half a season at least to gel. Spagnola defenses usually get better as the year goes on. So if anything, I think they're going to get better from here on out, Key.
Well, yeah, when you start to look at the statistical side of things for Patrick Mahomes, they are going up. They did go up against a Cowboy team that does not necessarily surrender passing touchdowns to the opponent. Mm. The defensive side from the Kansas City Chiefs standpoint, they are getting a little bit better. Their secondary is better, but they also are not playing as nearly as much man-to-man defense as they played the first seven games of the season. The last four games, they're mostly playing in a zone two-shell combination when they're on the field. So I'm not, like, going to go crazy about the defense, but they certainly made the necessary adjustments that will keep them in football games and not get blown out like we've seen the first seven games.
Key, why do you think Dallas didn't try to control the running game more?
I don't know. I thought they ran the ball at times.
It's 16 rush attempts, man, for the game.
Well, when you get behind, sometimes you go away from running the ball because the clock starts to become your enemy. And I think that was probably some of the case. You know, the interception late in the game by Dak Prescott was not Dak Prescott's fault. It was a great play by the defensive lineman who tipped the ball. Therefore, it went right into the hands of the defender. If that tip wasn't there, it would have been a strike for six. So when you look at certain situations, you say to yourself, well, it wasn't really a blowout. It wasn't a high-scoring game. But it doesn't matter because when you fall behind, again, you start looking at the clock and saying to yourself, we got to score right now fast because time is against us.
Yeah, it reminds me what you just said before, Key, of what people were saying about the Nets last year when they had all three with Kyrie and James Harden and KD. When they had the worst defense anyone had ever seen, it was like all you have to do with these guys is play league average defense. If you can just hold it down defensively, as Key, as you would say, they're going to be fine, right? The Chiefs are that kind of team. They just have to be able to hold it down defensively, run when you mentioned they play two shell against them, run when they give them the run. Don't try to force it too much. And then, like, Jay, what are you going to do against the Chiefs? If they'll take what you give them and Helaire and these guys can pick up the yards on the ground, good luck. Yeah. And they could just hold it down defensively, good luck.
And I know Ezekiel Elliott was banged up, and obviously Tony Pollard there too. You just wonder for the Cowboys moving forward. I think they'll be okay. But now two of their last three games, I mean, it's been interesting to see that offense kind of dwindle.
Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Calls
Ooh,
it 888. Say ESPN, we got a whole nation. 888-729-3776, and we got to get into it from the Cowboys' point of view a little bit later. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up. Fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So I was in Vegas covering the Bud Crawford-Sean Porter fight, welterweight title fight this weekend. But the best fight, one that people are talking about right now anyway, may have been in the NBA.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, all phone guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So LeBron James was ejected after striking the Pistons. Isaiah Stewart's James struck Stewart in the face while jostling for a board in the third quarter. That was jostling.
Okay.
121-116. Yes, jostling is when you take your elbow, you raise it, and you swing it back real quick at the other guy's face. Anyway, the hit led to a stoppage in action while Stewart, with blood coming down his face, had to be held back multiple times by Detroit personnel. He tried to confront LeBron. Stewart was also tossed, and James didn't talk to reporters after the game. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Anthony Davis on the altercation.
You know, Stewart tried to get physical with Bron. Bron did the same thing. You know, everyone in the league knows Bron not a dirty guy. That nearly hit him. As soon as he did it, he looked back at him and told him, oh, my bad, I didn't try to do it. He tried to, I don't know what he was trying to do, but I know nobody on our team, 1 through 15, was having it. You know, we're going to protect our brother. I've never in 10 years seen a player try to do that. Well, since I've been playing, I mean, obviously we've seen it before, but back in the day. But in recent basketball, it was uncalled for.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right, Jay, dirty play, yes or no?
Yeah, it was a dirty play. I think LeBron James should be suspended for one or two games. It wasn't an elbow. When you actually look at the replay and you see it, it was a closed fist hit to the face of Isaiah Stewart. So, you know, look, arms get tangled up. I get all that.
Can we see the video again, please?
Yeah, we should show the video again. If you see it in slow-mo, closed fist hit to the face of Isaiah Stewart. You're going to see right here it comes across, rake. And I get that the arms are tied up. But, I mean, that's – That's a flagrant too. He should have been ejected for that. LeBron James is not a dirty player at all. LeBron James is one of the greatest players to ever play. But that was a dirty play. And I think one of the things that gets people a little bit frustrated about it was that afterwards LeBron James is staring there, kind of staring at him with his hand out, you know, saying like, hey, I don't know if that was I'm sorry or what he's trying to say, instead of just being like, yeah, that's what happened.
I seen that a million times, and until you pointed that out, I didn't see it. Looked to me like he swung the elbow, but Key, if we got the video up here, you could see where actually it looks now to me like he catches him with his fist at following the elbow, and that's what opened the cut over the eye. See, there it is.
Yep. Right there.
In the end, man, basketball players say stuff is dirty when it doesn't appear to be dirty to me. That's just me. I didn't play in the NBA. Jay played in the NBA. So to Jay, that's dirty. To me, it looked like he's trying to box him out. He's tangled up with him with his arm. He's trying to use his force and his strength with him. And as he's doing it, his head is kind of leaning toward. And as LeBron is pushing away, he rips into him to get his arm off of him, and not necessarily to try and, you know, hurt him or gouge his eye or nothing like that. But that's just what I see. Now, maybe Jay sees something different or you see something different. It did not look like a dirty play to me. Dirty play to me is if he's looking at the basket and LeBron James just said, bam, that's dirty to me. But when I'm tangled up with somebody and I'm locked in the arms and I'm trying to fight for position and a rebound, and as I'm using my strength and against his strength and forcefully just pull back, to me, that was more of an accident than it was as a dirty play.
I'm not saying that he intentionally hit him in the face, but Key, if you look at the play.
But wait, Jay, but if you use dirty.
Hold on, but Key, but watch. Yeah, The ball's in the hoop. Isaiah Stewart is going the other way. He's out of the play. DeAndre Jordan, so he leans a little bit against LeBron, which catches LeBron off balance a little bit. LeBron could just went. The ball was already in. The play's over.
And yeah, you opened up a
play's
cut.
Over. So when
you tangle with me underneath the board, when I've been underneath the boards, not in the NBA, but just in high school or college or whatever the case may be, I'm like pushing back because I'm trying to get my position my leverage.
But Key, that's not even underneath the board. he's on the second block. The ball's in.
And then the ball goes in. There's no rebound to be had. You know what it is? It looks like this to me. In boxing, for example, you might have a dude who's dirty or will make some dirty moves, at least from time to time. One of those might be he's coming in with his head. He's swinging his head. Now, is he aiming for your face? Not exactly. But if your face happens to be there, it's going to catch it, right? LeBron whipped around. I think, Key, the video that we just saw, Jay proved his point to me in that LeBron could see the play is now over. You're not jockeying for rebound.
But Max, I'm tangled up with somebody, play over or not, and I'm tangled up with you, and you still using your force against me, then I'm going to use my force against you to get off of you.
Yeah, and one thing,
if you look at the force, though, Key.
Like, get your damn hands off
I'm
of me.
I'm going to talk to you about force, though. If you see the play, the force for Isaiah Stewart is on the hip or the rib cage of LeBron James, which is how you box out. How you are taught not to box out is having your elbow or your fist above someone's face. Now, I know LeBron probably wasn't 1,000% sure of the trajectory of where his arm is, but look at the left arm. It's above the face, man.
Yeah, I think.
But
I think,
Jay, have you not had a dude touching you and you like, man, get your damn hands off
exactly
of me.
That's exactly what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, the ball that went through the hoop, you stop touching me. Get your hands off of me.
I feel you on that.
That's what it was. Yeah. But he did it in a way, LeBron did, with his fist after the ball had gone in, where it was not just get off me, but it's get off me and take that with you a little bit. And I think part of the reason we're even talking about it is because it opened up a big gash over his eye.
Absolutely.
He was a bloody mess.
Now, look, I give the Lakers credit, though, Keith.
You don't want somebody bleeding. But in the end, I just wouldn't use the adjective as dirty to describe what LeBron did.
What would you say it was? Inadvertent contact?
Unfortunately, dude got hit. I mean, that's what I would say.
I just feel like when it's a closed fist, that's different, man.
Unfortunate eye jammy.
Dirty to me is when you go into the hoop, right, Jay, and I know that you on a fast break and I'll shove you in the back. That's dirty to me.
Okay. So it was inadvertently dirty. Okay. Is that like a middle ground?
You still using the word dirty. I can't use dirty. I can't use dirty.
The reason you can't, if you can't, Key, to me it's because it was slick. And I think that's why Stewart was like, nope. You're not walking that line with me.
When you say slick, it leaves the interpretation as if, to me, as if LeBron James literally tried to open his eyes slickly.
I don't think that was the intention.
I don't think it was done deliberately, but it still happened.
Yeah.
Right?
The intention was get off me and take this with you when you get, as you're getting off
me. And that may be the case.
Yeah, and that little this with you left his eye a mess.
And that's a lot of man and a lot of strength and power, man. So you can only imagine what it felt like.
Turn that man into Isaiah Artest. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Man, come on, man.
No, he tried to go at him for a good 4 or 5 minutes.
Stewart was talking about
Adrian
after that.
He ran into the back of the locker to try to come around the other side of the tunnel.
All right, coming up, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So we're about to go no huddle, y'all. All 4 of the biggest games from yesterday's NFL slate. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's right. Let's execute. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. All right. No huddle time. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lost 34-31 to Kirk Cousins' Vikings yesterday. Greg Joseph made a 29-yard field goal as time expired to give the Vikings a 34-31 victory over the Pack. Rodgers finished 23 for 33 for a season-high 385 yards for the Packers. After missing time earlier to COVID-19, earlier in the season, Aaron Rodgers was unable to practice much this week because of a toe injury. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the toe injury.
I've had turf toe. It's a little worse than turf toe. I'm just going to have to get through the bye and hope I can get some healing over the bye week. Probably the same schedule next week. I was in a lot of pain. Went in at halftime early to get it checked out. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very painful. Got stepped on in the first half, and that kind of activated all the symptoms I was having. So it's going to be another painful week next week, and then hopefully start to feel a little better in the bye.
Key, you worried at all about Aaron Rodgers' toe moving forward?
No, I'm really not worried about it at all. I think when you look at this football game, going into the game, I felt like Kirk Cousins would get the most of the Green Bay Packers, which him and Justin Jefferson certainly did. But then on the flip side of the thing, Aaron Rodgers certainly pushed himself back into major MVP conversation as the season kind of dwindles down. You look at where he was at a couple weeks ago to where he finished at yesterday. It wasn't because of him that they lost the football game. He certainly put on display a lot of great things. But Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson put on a clinic in the passing game. So they were going to get the win. I felt like that going into it.
Damn, man, with Turf Toe, threw for 385 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions. I wonder what he'll do when he's fully healthy.
Yeah, amputate his leg. It goes for 600 yards. I mean, this dude.
Gosh, you're aggressive.
By the way, Justin Jefferson, you brought it up. Good Lord, the start to this guy's career so far. Beast, you know, I looked it up. He had 1,400 yards as a rookie. It wasn't even on my mind. 1,400 yards as a rookie following it up with this season.
I will say, I'm glad to see some luck go in the favor of Minnesota for once this year.
Yeah, I was sure they were going to lose. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers coming back on him.
Was it luck, though, Jay? Was it luck?
Well, I mean, the misinterception to Darnell Savage, like that could have been – that was one of those plays where you're like, oh, here we go. Yeah. But, I mean, they overturned the call, so – it works out.
Tennessee Titans stunned yesterday by the Tyrod Taylor-led Houston Texans, losing 22-13. Texans quarterback Ryan Tannehill quarterback Ryan Tannehill threw for 323 yards and a touchdown, but also threw 4 interceptions. Texans snapped the NFL's longest active losing streak, 8 straight games with a win. Also ended the Titans' league-longest winning streak with 6 straight wins. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on his confidence level in his quarterback after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've seen Ryan perform at a high level. Offensive football at any level is takes 11 guys, you know, and so there was a lot of good football out there. Unfortunately, we turned the football over too many times, way too many times. I felt like our defense battled, and our offense certainly was its own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Key, where are you at with the Bills?
Not the Bills, the Titans.
Sorry, the Titans.
No, I know. They feel the same to you.
Yep.
Here's the situation they're I would say about the Tennessee Titans. Vrabel, there wasn't a lot of good football out there. 4 damn interceptions. What were you watching? I was watching the same game as you were watching. So when you look at the situation as far as the Tennessee Titans go, I got destroyed per Jay Williams in Twitter. His fan base said that I picked against them at 8-2, and I said they were not getting – I wasn't giving them the necessary respect. Do you get the respect at 8-2? No, you don't, because I clearly could see that this team wasn't going to go as far as most people hope that would be Tennessee Titans fans. When you drop back Ryan Tannehill as much as you have to win football games, you're going to get 4 interceptions. The hell are you doing, Jay?
Yeah, Jay, where are you with all this now, Mr. Bills and Titans?
I really have nothing to say.
Well, if you're listening on radio, you'll see it on ESPN2, but Jay has a paper bag over his head with a frowny face, Titans/Bills.
I'll tell you what.
You know what, Keith? It's one of those that I'm a little bit – I mean, I hear your analysis, but it's the NFL, man. A team's on a 6-game winning streak. They ain't going to win every game. They're playing a team with a little bit of a sneaky good defense who's lost 8. They ain't going to lose every game. Like, this is the type of stuff that happens right around this time of the season. I'm not picking the Titans to win the Super Bowl because Derrick Henry goes down.
This is the type of stuff that happens?
Yeah, it
happens. They'll win the division, and that's it.
Yeah, right. Maybe you don't think they can win a playoff game?
They're going to win the division, and that's it. Is Derrick Henry coming back?
Well, they said potentially he could come back.
Is Julio Jones coming back?
I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah,
when you start to think about who they have to depend on from an offensive output in a defense that is just this is what you're going to get.
Yeah,
look, I said it when they were 8-2. People looked at me like I had frogs on my face. Per Jay, as I said, he follows the social media stuff. He reported back to me that they were not happy with me because I wasn't respecting them. Well, that's the reason why.
Well, Carson Wentz, speaking of respect, may be the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not saying he has not been playing well. He has this year. But the offense yesterday was the run. J- Jonathan Taylor, 185 yards and scored 5 TDs, 4 on the ground.
Yo,
have
MVP.
A day. Could you believe,
MVP
imagine having a day like that in the NFL? Colts win 41-15 over Jay Will's Buffalo Bills. Is it time to hit the panic button in Buffalo? Here is the Bills quarterback, Josh Allen.
We're a really good football team when we don't bite ourselves in the butt. Again, what we put on that field today is not who we are. I got a lot of trust and a lot of faith in our team, and there's no secret that we need to do a better job on all fronts. There's no way around it. But at the same time, it's not panic mode. We got to learn from this one and move on as quickly as possible because, again, we're playing on Thursday night.
All right, double barrel question here. Should the Bills panic? And how impressed are you with the Colts, Keyshawn Johnson?
I'm extremely impressed with the Colts. The Colts are a warm weather dome team going on the road to Buffalo and basically annihilating the Buffalo Bills that people had kind of anointed as the team in the AFC. Then when you look at the panic side of things, of course you're panicking because now you're one game behind the New England Patriots, although New England played one more game than you. So let's just call it their tie deadlock with the New England Patriots, a team that got off to a slow start, a 2-4 start, might I say, and everybody was saying, well, you know, they may not Tom Brady this time. New England right now is looking down at the Buffalo Bills and not afraid of them. They see each other twice this season. They have yet to play. It's going to come down to those two games. Who wins? Those two games is going to make sure that's going to put that team in position to win the division.
I quote Josh Allen, "We know who we are," end quote. Who are you? I don't know who this team is, Key. They lost their last 3 out of 5 games. I saw them have an absolute clunker to the Jags. The Jags. They lost to the Jaguars. Then you turn around and you come home after you beat up on the Jets and your offense seems to finally be going. Stephon Diggs seems to finally have a good game. And you get blasted at home to a team who's way more physical to you. Everybody keeps talking about you having the best defense in the league. How are those inflated stats working out for the Bills? Yesterday was an embarrassment for them. 41-15 at home. At home against the Colts. And I understand that the Colts have upside, and I understand Jonathan Taylor is in the MVP conversation, at least NFL Offensive Player of the Year, but that's embarrassing for the Buffalo Bills. And by the way, I'm done with all the penalties for the Bills. They're one of the top teams in the league as far as penalties. They had so many penalties yesterday. What are you doing, Bills? I roll with you. What are we doing?
This is a long season.
No one circles the wagon quite like the Buffalo Bills.
This is a long season, and the Bills in the offseason, hey, can they get by the Chiefs? That's the big thing. They start well, and they beat the Chiefs.
Hey, Max.
And it looked good for a minute.
Hey, just in case you didn't know, the season almost over, man.
But you know what? Is it really, though? They got a whole – they got, what, another 6 games to play?
That's almost over.
Oh, I'm saying we're 2/3 of the way through, but it's a long season. What I mean is early in the season, the Bills with all the offseason buzz, they start hot, and then they beat the Chiefs. I think that's when it got – the hype got taken to another level, right? You got to be able to get past the Chiefs.
Yeah,
now,
but
here
look
come
at,
the Bills.
You know, you check out some of the offenses that the Bills' defense played against, Max. Outside of the Tennessee game, I mean, because of Derrick Henry, other than that, what quarterbacks and stuff have they faced that you go, oh, okay, that's a signature win? That guy sitting next to you, it sure looks like Jay Will. Is that Jay Will?
Okay, Key, we get it. We get it. Thanks, Key, for all the data. Thank you to support your argument. The Bills and the Titans, I got it.
All right, let's move it along, finally.
I hope that bag stick on your head.
Justin Fields left with a rib injury in yesterday's 16-13 loss to the Ravens. Andy Dalton stepped in and threw a touchdown, threw touchdowns in the loss, but the Bears were unable to overcome the Tyler Huntley-led Ravens. Bears fans rained down fire Nagy chants as the loss was unfolding. Here's head coach Matt Nagy's response to those chants.
I just understand in the end that we all care a lot, you know, and we're all, you know, in this thing. And, of course, we want to do everything we can to win, you know, so that's our job to do that. And I think that everyone is competitive and wants to see the Bears win. And that's exactly what we want.
Matt, You know. How do you retain the belief internally of your group?
You keep fighting. You keep believing in each other, and you keep it real simple. And you never stop fighting. You know, that's all you can do.
Now, here's the question. $64,000 question, Key. You know, as much as Jay loves him and he's trying to been defending him and all that stuff, do the Bears fire Matt Nagy this year?
Yeah, I think Matt Nagy days are just numbered. They're going to dwindle down as we get close toward the end of the season. You know, they're gonna start to get louder and louder. But Matt Nagy will not be returned as the Chicago Bears head coach after the season is over with. And there's no way you can do that at all. I mean, it's just it is what it is. I mean, now they're not going to fire him in season based on the way that they've handled firing coaches in the past. That would be the Chicago Bears. They just don't have a history of firing coaches in season. They wait to the end of the year to terminate them, and I think that's what you're going to see with Matt Nagy moving forward.
No one is to blame but everyone, Key. No one is to blame but everyone. This is that's a Matt Nagy line, Max.
Yeah.
This is coaching malpractice. And I'm going to tell you, in the fourth quarter, I watched Matt Nagy burn some timeouts where I just yelled at the TV. Just wondering, like, what the hell are you doing?
There was one sequence in particular.
Oh, there were three sequences. There were three. I mean, the first one, I actually wrote some down. 12:26 remaining, fourth and one. They go for it. There was a penalty. I can go through it. I don't want to go down this dark road, Key. We're starting my Monday on a positive note, and I'm sure we're going to bring on people here from the Chicago area that can tell you how they feel the same. But I would be okay if Matt Nagy's job was taken away today and there was a new start for tomorrow for the Bears.
Well, we have David Kaplan.
Hey, Cap.
ESPN Chicago. Joins on the Goodyear Hotline.
Gentlemen.
Brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear more driven. Good morning, Cap.
Good morning. How we doing today?
You tell us.
Cap. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How about them Bills, Cap?
I didn't know the playoffs were played yesterday, Key.
Don't try to defend them, Cap. Just let it go. Some things are better left
unsaid. I am not today. Not today.
Let's get into the Bears.
Don't die on a hill today, Cap.
Let's get into the Chicago Bears, Cap. How close are we getting to Matt Nagy actually being fired?
So the Bears have never, ever fired a coach in season, but that's kind of a skewed stat because their owner was their coach for like 50 years. So you're not going to fire himself. So if they lose Thursday, when the entire world wakes up on Thursday morning and they, whether they have a Bloody Mary or they pour their coffee, they sit down and watch the first game for sure before family gets here. And a lot of people are going to watch all three, obviously, it's the NFL. They lose to the Lions, and I'm telling you right now, I think they're going to. If they lose to the Lions on Thursday, I don't know how you don't fire this man on Friday. I mean, I'm serious. You can't allow this charter franchise to have those chants, fire, Nagy. I mean, that's going to go on for several more weeks. You can't. You just got to put him out of his misery. Again, he's a really good guy. He's just a really lousy football coach.
Man, it's the holiday season, though, Cap. Jeez, get a guy a break. Let him last to the end of the year. The guy didn't even get a chance to swallow and digest his turkey.
His break is that he's going to get paid a whole lot of money to go away. He's got another year left. So, no. For me, if I was the owner, I would have already made a change. If I was making a change, I'd make Mike Pettine the head coach for the remainder of the season. He's a defensive assistant. He's been in that role. He was a head coach. Not a good one, but he was a head coach. You handle the media. Tabor will handle special teams. And Sean Desai will handle the defense as well as that plays. Boy, that defense looks pathetic. And then let Laser handle the offense, and we'll go find a new coach. And then I don't want to hear flavor of the day. Let's go get this OC and that OC who've never been a head coach. No, Chicago. Either go steal somebody else that is coaching somewhere else who's really good, it's the Bears, or go get me Ryan Day from Ohio State. That's who I want.
Cap, explain this to me. I hear what you're saying about Nagy, but people, to me, seem to be out of – and I agree he's not the man for this job, it doesn't look like to me, with Justin Fields. 12-4, 8-8, and then whatever he is this year. I mean, even if he's the equivalent of 4-12, that's like a 500 coach. You can do better, but why is he thought of as poorly as he is at this moment, do you think?
Because he was hired to be an offensive wonderkind. He was brought here to fix Mitch Trubisky, to modernize our offense. Well, guess what? In his career, they're averaging under 20 points a game, A. B, they're 32nd in offense right now. They've had two big-time quarterbacks they've drafted. I believe in Justin Fields. Again, Mitch wasn't great, but how much of that falls at the feet of Matt Nagy, too? And he is so stubborn about moving Justin out, rolling the pocket, running screen passes. We don't do any of that stuff. That yesterday, when they threw that touchdown to Darnell Mooney, 88 out of the gate, gone, that was like, whoa, we don't run two-yard passes and guys take it to the house. Where'd that come from? So, yeah, the offense is so pathetic that is why he will get fired.
Dave Kaplan joining us here at ESPN 1000 in Chicago on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Cap, I have to ask you, because you talked about my squad, the Ohio State. Ryan Day, you said the name. How seriously should the Bears consider Ryan Day from Ohio State?
100%. All in. How much is it going to cost? I'm sure he's making, last I looked, I thought it was around $7 million. This is the Chicago Bears, Jay. They are worth north of $4 billion if they were going to go on the market. North of $4 billion. There is no amount. If you determine that's the guy, go get him. He coached Justin. He knows how to be a head coach. He's been an assistant in the NFL as a quarterback's coach with two different franchises. And by all accounts, people I know him, hell of a good dude. So he fits everything. Oh, and he's controlled the locker room. So, yeah, that's for me, that's the guy. I don't want the Bills OC and the Ravens OC and the this one's OC. No, I want someone who's been a head coach, period.
How about Khalil Mack? He's now out for the season. Have we seen the last game of him for the Bears?
I don't think so, because how are you going to pay all that dead cap money if you're trying to fix this thing? And if you are trying to fix it quickly, and I believe you should because you're the Chicago Bears, then you need Khalil Mack. I mean, what are you getting for him coming off a season-ending injury? Seriously, what are they going to pay you to say, oh, I got to make that deal? Someone's giving you two first-round picks? Sign me up. I don't think that's going to happen. So I believe Khalil will be back here. I don't think they'll re-sign Akeem Hicks. They definitely won't re-sign Allen Robinson. And then we'll see where it goes from here. They don't have a lot of draft capital either.
That is David Kaplan, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN Chicago. You can check him out, co-host of Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Weekdays, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central. Hey, Cap, thanks a million for jumping on, as always.
Hey, Cap, how about those Bills?
Hey, man, you pick a team right now and let's go head-to-head, mano-a-mano.
He picked the Raiders before, Cap.
I wasn't talking to you, Jay. You always got to try to got you moment. Don't listen to him. He's not even giving you the full context. Hey, man, go enjoy your day, Cap. Don't listen
Thanks,
to this
Cap.
Dude. Please.
Cap. Thanks, Cap. Hey, listen, we got much more coming up, but, Key, we have 30 seconds. What do you think about Ryan Day?
I think it's a good option. I mean, he runs a pro-style system to a degree that will fit in the NFL. He's been in the NFL, so he knows the pulse of the NFL. What you essentially will probably be getting is a better Matt Rhule in this situation.
Well, Ryan Day will make $7.6 million next year, so he was
right
on it.
All right, so give him 14.
Yep. Yeah, right. Like he said, $4 billion company or property. What's it worth to you? Coming up, who's a better chance to win the Super Bowl, Cowboys or Chiefs? We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.